peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, whoa. You are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go. In the questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh. My lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore.
Light it up, oh God of revival. to thee. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Every stronghold will crumble, hear the chains hit the ground.
God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Come awaken your people,
come awaken the city. God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Every stronghold will crumble, hear the chains hit the ground.
God of revival, pour it out, pour it out.
Darkest night, you can light it up,
you can light it up, oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome, you've already won, oh God of revival.
The darkest night, you can light it up,
you can light it up.
death alive. There on a tree, the Lamb of God was crucified. And he went on down to hell, and he took back every key. And he rose up as a lion, he set in the captives free. But there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. And there ain't no grave trumpet sound. Oh, we're gonna rise up out of the ground. And there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Oh no,
oh no,
oh no,
oh, there ain't no grave.
Oh no,
oh no.
Should.
Jesus.
What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? What it will be like when I walk by your side, I can only imagine.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned, around me come shadows in the light of you. I worship you. I worship you. The reason I sing is to worship.
A true statement for you this morning?
Yes, amen. Yes.
If it is, then worship him this morning.
Worship you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are I am. You are the great and awesome and mighty creator of all things. You alone deserve praise. You alone are holy, holy, holy. You are Almighty God. And we have the joy and the privilege of worshiping you today. God, help us to lift our voice, to sing out those praise, to lift up your name, to speak truth. to people. God, help us in all of our actions and all of activities and all of our life choices to worship you. Holy is your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, a part of worshiping you is bringing prayers and petitions before you, knowing, acknowledging that you are a mighty God and that you care about every detail of every person's life. Lord, so this morning we bring several different people before you today, Father God. Judy Laver, homesick this morning. Heidi, still recuperating from her elbow and still dealing with some other health issues. Sue, Lord, in that broken ankle, still dealing with rehab. Mary Jan, in that enlarged aorta, Lord. Father, we just continue to lift up these individuals. Lord, I even think of Laura Poucher's sister this morning. Lord, all of these people struggling and dealing with different physical issues in their body. Lord, would you meet them right where they're at? Lord, every single one of these needs are completely meetable by you. Lord, you can touch them, you can heal them, you can make them whole, you can take away disease, you can take away struggles, you can do all those things with just one glance, with just one word. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and in you we trust, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I know some of us have had a rough, exhausting week, but you're there to hold us close. You're there to comfort us. You're there to pick us up and to hold us tight. God, I pray that every single person hearing my voice would know that you are with them, that you are their comforter, that you are their provider, that you meet their needs, that you take care of them. Lord, would you just show yourself to each and every single person today? God be honored. God be glorified and praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Been doing some drywall repair and painting at home, so I've been inhaling all this dust, and my throat feels like 80 grit sandpaper at the moment. Not an exciting thing. If you hear me get a little gravelly, that you know why. One of the most well-known Old Testament biblical men is David. I think we could all agree with that. I think most everybody knows who David is. We know a little bit about David. We know that he was called as a young man. We know that he trusted God in some very difficult situations, including standing toe-to-toe, if you will, with a giant much larger than himself. David was the great-grandson of Ruth and Boaz. Some of us don't always make those ties in Scripture. You know, those genealogies are not fun to read, but they're there for important information, right? So we understand that lineage. Grandson of Ruth and Boaz. He was from the town of Bethlehem. Sound familiar? Anybody else you know from the town of Bethlehem? Maybe this guy named Jesus? You ever heard of him? I hope so. David wore many hats. He was a shepherd. He was a musician. He was a warrior. He served as king. He had all these different things that he did in his life. David is also pretty well known for falling from that throne of grace, so to speak, of making a couple pretty poor decisions and finding himself stuck in that hole that sin tends to cause us to dig. But then on the other side of things, David is also known as the man after God's own heart. That's an incredible title. We say that a lot. We say it easily. Oh, thank you so much. Much better. Thank you. David is a man after God's own heart. a phrase we've talked about, a phrase we throw out there, but think about what that actually means, being after the same things that God is after. He was so in tune with God, for the most part. Again, we already talked about his downfall and the few things that he did wrong, but for the most part, David was in tune. He had such a deep love for God. He trusted God. He acted in faith and humility. And he worshiped God. You know, we don't spend time singing on Sunday mornings just for the sake of exercising our voice. Worship is a huge part of our relationship with our Savior. Lifting up his name, praising him. David worshiped God and worshiped him mightily. The example that David set for us is arguably unmatched in Scripture outside of Jesus. And yes, there are some other of those giants of the Bible that we know, Moses and Abraham and others that have set some incredible examples for us. But David does an incredible job. And he certainly hits right up there to the top of the list when it comes to setting us an example. Do we often think about David as an author? He was. He wrote stuff too. Many of us can be familiar with a little book in Scripture called Psalms. There's only a few of them to read. David wrote almost half of the Psalms, 150 Psalms. David wrote somewhere right around half of them. We know at least 73 and perhaps a couple of more. That's a lot of them. But he was an author and he wrote to us. One of the things he wrote was Psalm 139, which is where we're going to read from in just a moment this morning. So if you want to open there or scroll there or whatever you choose to do, Psalm 139 is a prayer of David's. And in this particular prayer, he is asking God to examine his life. But he goes even deeper. He's not just asking God to examine his physical, earthly life. He's asking God to examine his very soul, his spirit, his spiritual life. In this writing, David expresses the depth and the majesty of God to the point that he can discern it, to the point that he can understand it. Because we can't truly understand the depth of our God. It is beyond our comprehension. He acknowledges that God knows people intimately. He knows people better than we know ourselves. He has the ability to truly know a person from that very moment of conception I talked about just a few moments ago, throughout all of our earthly days and beyond into our eternal time. David beautifully, beautifully illustrates the inability for us to ever hide from God. The inability to ever go anywhere or be anywhere that God is not. To say or do anything that God doesn't understand. He reflects that for us. Let's read this psalm together this morning. 139, starting right at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your words are wonderful, and I know them full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grain of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Oh God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. If we would take the time to dwell on that for a little bit, meditate on that for a little bit, the intensity of that psalm is incredible. What that says, what that speaks, if we could grasp even some of that, what an amazing difference it would make in our lives. We would not only learn more about ourselves, we would develop a much deeper, a much richer, a much more vibrant relationship with our God if we could understand things the way David tried to communicate them. One of my favorite commentaries to use when I am studying and working through Scripture is written by Warren Wiersbe. Wiersbe not only attended Northern Baptist Theological Seminary right here in Lombard, Illinois, but he also taught practical theology classes at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois. He's a pastor, he's a radio show host, he was pretty well known. He was even, for about 8 years or so, he was the pastor of Moody Bible Church right here in Chicago during the 1970s. In regard to David's psalm, Pastor Wiersbe writes this. He says, "What we think about God and our relationship to Him determines what we think about everything else that makes up our busy world. Other people, the universe, God's word, God's will, sin, faith, obedience. Wrong ideas about God will ultimately lead to wrong ideas about who we are and what we should do. And this leads to wrong life on the wrong path towards the wrong destiny." In other words, theology, the right knowledge of God is essential to a fulfilled life in this world. David contemplated God and wrote for us a psalm whose message can only encourage us to be in a right relationship with Him. That's what this psalm digs into for us. Outside of this particular psalm, only Job really record such an in-depth prayer for us to consider. Lots of other prayers in Scripture. There's lots of other things written for us to ponder. But David and Job write with some incredible depth about our devotion to God. Our true devotion to God. Not our outward appearance, folks. Not the projected persona we try to get people to buy into or believe, but our true devotion to God. Sometimes we even fool ourselves, don't we? We like to pretend we're doing something for this reason or this reason or this reason. But if we were really to examine our heart and our motive, we would find that we're doing it for a much different reason. God knows that different reason. This prayer goes way beyond our physical life, our physical attributes. It invites God in to evaluate us on a spiritual level. Wiersbe adds that if we will try to look at ourselves from that deeper perspective and acknowledge God's complete understanding of who we are, it can only lead to maturity in our relationship with Him. Becoming more of that after God's own heart kind of person, like David was. Not after the world's ideas or thoughts, but being truly in tune with our Creator. This particular psalm of David's is usually broken down into four segments or four paragraphs, if you will. So we're going to do that same thing. We're going to kind of break it down into those four sections and take a look at each of them. The first one starts with verses 1 through 6, which admits, again, to that depth of knowledge that God knows us by. Let me reread those first couple of verses for us. Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain. One of the first words we read in that text that is written there is the word searched. You have searched me, O God. In this case, that verb searched means to examine with painstaking care. Have you ever done one of those tests where you look at a picture for like, I don't know, 15 or 20 seconds, and then somebody takes it away and they ask you, what color was the house? How many people were in the picture? Have you ever done one of those? And you're standing there going, I don't know. That's kind of what this is like here. Do we truly get a picture of who we are and allow God to search us and truly reveal to us? I got to warn you, it's possible He could reveal some stuff to you that you don't like about you. I know He's showing me some stuff I don't like about me. Do we allow Him to search us and know us? It's a painstaking, deep idea of searching. It's been compared to hand digging a well, or hand digging a mine, if you will. You know every single shovelful that's come out of there. You know what's been thrown away, what's been discarded. You know what jewels, what treasures have shown up. You know every single inch of that thing personally, because you yourself dug it with your hands. God created us with His hands. He knows every inch of us, every detail of us. As much as man tries to hide from God or deceive God, we are simply not able to do that. We will never be able to do that. We will never be successful at pulling the wool over God's eyes, as the old saying goes. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Just plain and simple fact. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And David admits to God's total understanding of him and his ways and his thoughts and his desires and his actions, because every single action is known intimately by God. So guess what? When you roll your eyes at somebody, when you give somebody an unnecessary hand gesture, when you mutter some things under your breath about somebody or at somebody, We may be able to hide those things from the people around us, but we can never, ever hide them from God. He saw those eyes roll. He saw the hand gesture you made. No matter how quietly you think you spoke, He heard the words that came from your mouth. Think about that. Next time we are tempted to act negatively or unresponsibly or unprofessionally, or think about that. Whether the people around us know it or not, God sees all of those things. God knows all of those things. And we can never, ever, ever, ever hide them from Him. He knows the motive behind our every action. In fact, God understands it at its very essence, at its very base beginning level. Not that reason that we give to people, oh yes, I'm doing this because I felt like this was what I was supposed to do. Well, we've done that. We've smiled and said those words and we really don't mean them. Every one of us are guilty of having those wrong motives. But God knows us, and He knows our motives at the very base of where we're at. Not what we pretend to be like, not the reason we tell each other or try to get ourselves to believe, but God knows the very heart of our actions and speech. If we could come to understand that, folks, if we could understand the concept of what God knows about us and in our lives, that would transform our relationship with Him. It would change who we are. It would give us a whole different perspective if we stop and realize that He knows us at our very core. I want you to notice something that David said about God knowing his thoughts. Look at this. God, you perceive them from afar. God knows them. God understands them before they are ever even completed in our own minds. That thought you just had right now, God knew it before it registered in your head. That's hard to grasp, isn't it? It's hard to understand, isn't it? But that thought that's going through your mind right now, about dinner later, about the football game this afternoon, whatever it is, God knows that thought that's in your brain before it registers in your brain. That's crazy. That's crazy to think about. On top of that, David tells us that God knows the words before they ever even get to our tongue. He knows our words before they ever even get to our tongue. The closest thing we can come to understanding something like that is having a thought and the person we're with saying the same thing we were just thinking. Hey, I was just thinking that. You verbalized it before I did, but I was just thinking that. That's the closest concept we can have. God is that way 24/7, 365. He knows every single word you want to speak before it ever even reaches your mouth. God knows it prior to that first word rolling off your tongue, before you can even move your mouth to form your lip, before air even passes your vocal cords. God already knows what you are going to say. Is that a little eye-opening or what? That's who our God is. That's what David was trying to convey and help us to understand. The fact that God knows us exhaustively. He shares that throughout this psalm and in other places. He expresses the fact that truly, he doesn't use these words, but truly, we stand naked before God. There is not one ounce of anything in our lives that He does not know before we even know it. That's amazing. Again, this isn't based on the outward person that we claim to be. This is based on who we truly are. will have to give an account someday to God as well. Someday we are going to stand before the God who knows those real reasons, who knows those deepest intentions, who knows what's behind every single action, word, thought we have ever had in our entire life. You know, some of us have had conversation about standing before God and say, you know, when I get to God, I'm going to ask Him why. No, you're not. No, you're not. In fact, when you get to God and we're standing there and we have to give an account of our lives, it's going to be more intense than we can even possibly fathom. Because again, it's not going to be the rehearsed story we think we're going to get away with. It's not going to be the, well, you know, God, they said this, so I decided, no. God's just going to cut to the chase and say, don't even go there. Listen, here's the real reason you did that, isn't it? Oh, yeah, God, you're right. That's what it's going to be like. That day that we stand before Him and those books are opened, it's not going to be Kurt's version of Kurt's life. It's going to be God's version of what Kurt did or didn't do, as the case may be. If we can start to act like that, if we can start to live like that, if we can start to grab a hold of that concept, imagine how much closer we can grow to our God. We can also begin to understand, like we talked about last week, that He in fact has our best in mind. That He in fact wants to prosper us and help us to grow and move forward. But it's not according to our terms. It's not according to our thoughts or our desires or our way of thinking. It's all based on God's sovereign plan for you. God's sovereign plan for me. The last couple of verses in this section of Scripture that we're looking at, they speak an almost unfathomable words how much God cares for us. How much He loves us. How much we mean to Him. Look at this. The Creator, Almighty God, according to David, places His hand upon us. Says, David is saying, you hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Imagine having God's hand on your shoulder right now. Right this moment, as you sit here. Tomorrow morning, when you're at your desk, when you're at the grocery store, when you're driving in your car, imagine God's hand just resting on your shoulder. I think that would be pretty cool. The vision we get here is of a person placing a helping hand on another person. Have you ever helped somebody walk downstairs or walk upstairs? Have you ever helped somebody while they're recovering, maybe grab their arm because they're walking a little shaky or they're just not sure of their next step? Putting your arm around them, holding their arm, maybe giving them the encouragement or the support they need to take that next step. It's exactly what God does for us. When we're in that deep valley and we're feeling down and we're feeling like things can't get worse and this is horrible and why, God, did you do this to me? He's holding you. Anybody ever hear that old poem called Footprints? You know, in a nutshell, there's two set of footprints in the sand. And when the individual's feeling his absolutely lowest and worst and feel like it's a miserable time in his life, there's one set of footprints. And he stops and says, God, why, when things are absolutely the worst, would you leave me? Why is there only my footprints? God says, those aren't yours. It's those times that I picked you up and carried you. That's why there's only one set of footprints. God's got His hand on you now. Here. When you walk out this door, wherever you're at, His hand is upon you. He is hemming you in. He is encompassing you. He is helping you walk steady and straightforward helping you walk steady and straightforward, encouraging you, giving you strength. You know, we sing the blessing. It's an incredible song. I love that song. But part of that song says that He is behind us and before us and all around us. That's us, in essence, what David is saying in this psalm. You hem me in. You're there, 360 degrees, protecting me, holding me close, picking me up, walking with me, talking to me, surrounding me. Those aren't just made-up words or cute rhythm that works together. It's truth, folks. Behind us, before us, all around us. He is there with us, keeping us safe, moving us forward, protecting us, holding us steady. The final part of this section of Psalm 139 records David saying this: such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. As incredible as this psalm is, as amazing as these words are that the Holy Spirit directed David to write, David was overwhelmed by the realization of God's understanding of himself, God's understanding of man. He was overwhelmed by it. He expressed some incredible words here, but they're still not enough. They still don't go deep enough. They still don't give us a real, true picture of what God has for us and the extent that God will go to for you and for I. David admitted that with all that I know, I still know nothing. And with all that I know, I can't possibly comprehend it. It is way too great for me to even think about. Way too great for me to even think about it. He admits that with all of his heart. And he understands that God takes our relationship to a depth beyond our comprehension. We don't like that, do we? Many of us like the facts, and we want to know, and we want to point our finger, and we want to touch, and we want to see. And I personally, I'm an investigator. I love forensics. I love the facts. I love trying to find those things out. I love piecing things together and making the story all fit. But when it comes to God, I can't know those things. I can't understand those things. He knows me better than I know myself, to a depth beyond our comprehension. No man, no person ever knows us the way God knows us. So I want to leave you with a challenge this morning. I want to challenge you to consider Psalm 139 this week. Make it a part of your devotion. I know many of us have books and devotions and reading plans, and that's all great, but I'm encouraging you to make 139 one of your reading pieces this week and talk through it with God. Don't just read it and say, okay, Pastor Gert, I read it, got it. No, as you're reading it, as you're going through it, stop and talk to God about it. Lord, what am I supposed to get out of this? Lord, what part of this do you want me to learn? How can I apply this? Lord, would you help me to understand myself more and more? I may not ever get to the bottom of it all, but will you help me to understand more and more and more so that my relationship with you can become greater and more mature, better than it's ever possibly been? Because God knows your actions, your deeds, your words, your thoughts, your attitudes. He knows it all. You can hide it from me. You can hide it from your spouse. You can hide it from your kids. You can hide it from your parents. You can hide it from your friends or your boss. But God knows it all. Father God, we come before you and just ask, Lord, that we would learn to truly surrender our hearts to you, Lord, that you would begin to reveal to us parts of us that only you know. Lord, help us to see us for who we are. Help us to change as you show us those things, to become more of the people that you want us to be individually, Lord. God, I pray that we would begin to live life more in tune with you, seeking truly, Lord, to be more who you want us to be, holy, truly surrendering to you, not putting on masks or pretending or trying to get away with things, but God, wholeheartedly allowing you to make us into the individuals you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you that you search us and you know our inner thoughts and our ways, and that you still forgive us and you still love us. God, help us to focus on you this week and absorb from your word, Lord, especially Psalm 1.